Well, again, good morning from my side. Such a privilege just to be in the house of the Lord. Isn't it great to worship God and just to have Him minister to us and to experience His presence? So this morning, as we engage the Word, as I was preparing this week, well, at least, for the last week, it's so good to walk with God, you know, but sometimes He tends to sort of get under your skin and challenge you a bit about things. And this morning's sermon is tagged onto what Chesen preached last Sunday. So I'm hooking on while he was ministering. God clearly just spoke to me about something. And therefore the sermon title, Ask What You Wish. Now, this morning's sermon, I want to deliberately tie it to, if you can look that way, to our growth path. In that, you know, what Cheslin spoke about last week in terms of encountering God. We want to encounter God and have this intimate relationship with Him. You know, he spoke about abide. And abide means that I am there where I encounter Jesus, where I am in His presence, where He touches my life. And one of the ways we do that, obviously, is through prayer. And as many of you know, prayer for Christians is a powerful tool. Who of you pray? Just want to check if there's Christians in the house, you know. Okay. Charles Spurgeon says this, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. And it's incredible to think that if we pray, and when we pray, we're speaking to a God who is almighty, to whom nothing is impossible, and through our prayers, He then responds. Right? He comes to our aid. He helps us. It's one of the ways that we interact with a living God. Now, on this side of heaven, we do not have the privilege of seeing this God who we worship. But how many of you, while you were praying, just sense His presence, know He's there, and know He hears you? Amen? Okay? So we know that this God that we serve, and maybe this is not a reality to you, but He's a God to whom nothing is impossible. He can do anything. You know, I love that about the Lord, and I have to remind myself so often that He's a God that can actually do anything. So, we all know that prayer is not always answered. Who of you have got unanswered prayers? Okay, so it's not just me. Why is that? Why is that our prayers are not answered? Okay, so John 15 verse 7 says the following. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. This is not on there, but the God's Word translation says, ask for anything you want and it will be yours. Come on, this is a scripture I like. Huh? This is now a scripture that you know, I want to blow this up and put it there on the wall. The Modern King James Version says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Come on, this is good. Is this inspiring to you now? The BEE Version says, anything you wish, you make a request, and it will be done for you. Now, Lord, I've got weapons. I've got scripture that says anything I wish, I can just ask, and you're going to do this. Nah? So what are you praying for at the moment? You know, and even as we were ministering, are you praying for just provision for the day? Are you praying for another job? Are you praying for your family, your finances, your security, your safety? What is sort of the main theme of your prayer at the moment? And you and yourself. It's just yourself. Okay, now cool. I have some honest people on this side. This is awesome. You know, none of you else pray for yourself. We have a nervous giggle. All right. But what do we actually pray for? What are you praying about? What are you asking God for? What is the focus of your prayers at the moment? So I want you, just as I say that, just to pause, just to think, just to go, you know, yesterday, this morning, day before, What were you praying for? Just remind yourself quickly. What were you praying for? And do you see that prayer answered? Because, man, we do need our prayers answered. That's why I serve a supernatural God. I want my prayers answered. So don't go ahead of my slides, please. Go back. You have to stay with me, champ. But this scripture leaves us with an expectation that what we ask for, we will get. Anything I can wish for. It's like God is a genie. And many people see him that way. You know, rub him three times and I get everything I want. Except in this case, it's seemingly limitless. I can ask God whatever I want. But this is not the truth, is it? Sometimes we think that. If I ask something from God, he has to do it. Because I'm petitioning him, I'm praying, I'm asking. God is almost, we feel like God is obligated to answer whatever we ask for. And man, when he does not do that, then there is trouble. Then I'm not going to serve him anymore. Then he's not a good God, etc. You know, he's not for me. He's against me. Blah, blah, blah. You can filter through your own mind what's going on there when you're praying. And maybe, you know, you've been praying for 10 years and he seems not to answer the prayer. What then? After 10 years, maybe it's the wrong prayer. I don't know. Can we insist that God does what his word says here? And sometimes I think we do. You know, my journey as a child of God, I've had my moments where you pray about stuff. One of the things, that the prayers that I used to pray that took quite a long time for him to answer was this whole thing about being in ministry. You know, especially if God says it, you know. There's prophetic words and stuff that says, okay, you will be in full-time ministry and years go by, you know, and your hair starts falling out and stuff and it keeps going and nothing's happening. Then you get to that place like, no, Lord, what is up with this now? And you ask and you think and you plan and all the rest of it. You wanna walk into this thing, but it's not happening. Can I ask the parents quickly, do you give your children everything they ask for? Why not? Aren't you good parents? What is wrong with you? Why don't you give them everything? Just quick. Because you'll be poor. I get that. They will be spoiled. Why else? Why else? It's not good for them. No, but how can it not? But they want it. So they only want good things, don't they? So if we, that our parents don't give everything to our children, why do we expect that from the Lord? That we go, by thunder, Lord, I want my stuff. We all know all the Ford guys are praying for Toyotas silently. Sorry, I had to go there. In any case, forgive me. You know, so many times when we pray, we ask almost with that thing of, but Lord, you have to do this. But if we read that scripture in context, and now you can go to that slide. It says, if you abide in me, tagging on to what Cheslin was preaching last week, and he read the scripture, okay? And as he was reading it, the Holy Spirit just went, whoop. And what struck me is that part of, ask whatever you wish. And I thought, man, that's a good scripture. It says, if you abide in me and your words and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So often, we take scripture out of context. We take scripture and we mold it to fit what we want. And then we hold God to account. that now this is in the Bible and he has to do it. And we laugh about the first part, but so many people actually live there in their prayer life, in the expectation. You know, if I pray and I ask whatever I wish, this God of mine should do it. But just like as parents, we don't give everything to our children. He doesn't do the same. He does the same to us. He doesn't give us everything that we ask for. If he did, we would be spoiled. He will never be broke. But man, we will be spoiled. Nah, it will not be good for us. Many of us probably would not have been here. You would have killed yourself if he's given you everything that you asked for. Especially young men. We ask for some stupid stuff. Motorbikes, cars. And the reality is, you know, I'm convinced because in my journey as a young man, I never could afford the big six and the 320i and I always ended up with 1300s and stuff, nah. And I'm convinced. I'll tell you a quick story. My brother bought a big six Ford. Now the older people will know what that is, nah. Man, so he bought this thing and I drove with him. We must go fetch it now. So, and I'm a Christian. I abide to the law. You may not believe this, but I drive 60 and I stay in the, and I stop at a stop street. Just by the way, it means stop, right? So I stop. Okay, so we go and we fetch this car, and he tosses me the keys for the big six Ford, and now I'm already going, man. So we're driving home, and I'm quite good. You know, I feel it. It's a bit of power. You know, if you rev it, the whole body does this. And I'm like, whoo, some power. And we pull up at a robot, and I stand next to him. And my brother looks at me, and he's got a Toyota twin cam 16 valve. So it's not driving a little car. And all he does is... Suddenly, someone else gets into the seat. Now I've got permission. So I'm like, vroom, vroom, and I drop the clutch, nah, and nothing happens. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this stupid car? And the next moment, the smoke starts filling the room. Nah, and then that Ford tires got gripped, nah, and that thing kicks off there. And I am freaked out. I'm enjoying this. I'm just like, whoa! I can still feel it, you know. And it's second gear, and I'm off, and I'm like, whoa! And we stop at the next room, and then a robot, and I realized the devil is in the car. And from there, I drove it very nicely. And when we got back, I said to him, there's the keys. Never again. Because I understood that if God allowed me to have these kind of cars, I probably would have killed myself. Because I am, and I can be, if I let myself loose, I enjoy cars. Me and John would have been groot chommies. Nah, also dragster gereed. Nah, we would have done stuff, champ. And I could ask God, and there was many times that I was praying for that Toyota twin cam 16 valve, man. I was praying for that thing, and I never got it. And it's only later that I understood, maybe it was not a good thing for me, and that my God knew this. So he says, if you abide in me. Now, if we look at that, there's a choice. It starts off with an if. It also starts with an expectation from God's side that if you abide in me, so I guess the question is, will you abide in him? Are you making that choice to abide? And if you want to know what abide is about, the Cheslin's sermon of last week is on YouTube. Yes, we do have a YouTube channel. You can go look there and listen through that sermon. But abiding is not guaranteed. It's not automatic. Abiding is a choice. that you and I make. And you face that choice every day that you wake up. Every moment of the day, you and I make a decision whether we abide or not. And sometimes, let's be honest, we wake up and we're at full tilt because this day has got so much to do. But if prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence, don't we need that in our day? Don't I need God's arm to move in every one of my days? Because here's the reality. There's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and man, he'll come for us. And I need to be ready, so I need to abide in him. Now this, if you abide in me, refers to verse 5 of John 15. But just by the way, John 15 for me probably is one of my favorite books in the Bible, or chapters. I can spend time in chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from him, I can do nothing. And may that truth, may that reality really just sink in deep into every one of our hearts, that without him, I can do nothing. It's like I said at some point, I think it's a sermon or two ago, you know, I've pruned many trees. And consistently when I cut off a branch and I chuck it on the floor, it dies. Because it's not connected to the source of life anymore. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You will bear much fruit. You will live if you are connected, if you are abiding, if you are drawing those juices from me. You see, because if I don't abide in him, it's also a reality. It's also a choice. It's an option for us that we can pursue. So in other words, when I don't abide, I may ask for a lot of stuff and not get it. Because I'm not abiding in him. And then he continues and he says, and my words abide in you. My instructions, my teachings, the things that I command you, these things are abiding in you. They are with you all the time. You are meditating on them. Like Joshua says, day and night. You are meditating on them. You are thinking about them. You are drawing that life-giving juices from the vine. You're saying, Lord, let your word inspire me. Let it guide me. Like Psalm says, you know, let it be that lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. That's when I draw from him and he allows me to walk in it. And it's when I abide in him and his words abide in me. Now, sometimes I think we do the quick abide, the instant, the drive-through abide. You know? It's a quick in and out. Morning, Lord. Have a nice day. Shring! I've got my scripture for the day. I'm good to go. But it's as I, through the day, mull over, think, meditate, pray, minister even, as I allow that word that is in me to flow to others, it brings life. It brings life. So I think there's a clear expectation, if I look at that, that God actually wants us to spend time with him, for us to know his word and his instructions. And John 15:10 says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So how do I abide in his love? I have to keep the commandments. And that's not just the Exodus, the Ten Commandments. It is me knowing his instructions, knowing his desires, meditating on his thoughts. You know, even those prophetic words that you've received, maybe even dreams that you've had that God is speaking to you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I love that because Jesus is saying, as I've done, now do that. So it's entirely possible, in other words, for you and me to walk in that. To keep the Father's commandments. To stay in His love. To abide in His love. That is very possible for you and me. And John 15:14 says this, you are my friends if you do what I command you. That's again not so nice scripture. But we are friends of God if we hear His commandments and if we do them. Can I be honest? This is what makes us different from the world. Is that we're drawing our strength, our instructions, our commands, not from the world, but from a Father who loves us. And here's the thing. As all of you that are parents here want to steer your children in a way that they will become everything that you believe they can be, in a similar way, God steers us with His commandments, with His instructions. He teaches us how to walk. I remember one day, we were at Harold Porter, as before they made it as fancy as it was like this, and Jemal was quite small, and we got out of the car, and I said to him, don't run over the road. So what does my son do? Yeah, pa. And he goes, and as he bails, there's a car coming. Man, it's the one time that I see you have the ability to give a hiding in midair. Because I had him by the arm. Sorry. And I was, but Mark, I told you not to do this. And he disobeyed my commandment, and it nearly got him into big trouble. And sometimes when we walk with our Father, His commandments are there for a very good reason. Because He doesn't want us to get killed, sick, hurt. But then we choose to run, and we miss what He wants to do. So I think this morning we need to recognize that our God is not a genie. I guess in terms of our own expectation management is not all my prayers are going to be answered. Sometimes I just need to let it go and trust Him that He's got this. He's definitely not subject to my every wish, my every whim, that whatever I pray, He's now going to do it. But He's definitely a God who desires complete, focused, uninterrupted, sincere devotion and worship. As far as I understand Scripture, He's still a jealous God who wants you and me to abide in Him, to be part of Him. And He definitely doesn't share His glory with anything or anyone else. So He wants our attention. Scripture makes it clear that we should not have any other gods beside Him. You know, and as I was pondering this week, I realized how quickly my focus shifts. And things become important. And look, there's some important things that you have to take care of. But how... can I say my obsession and my time and everything is so focused on that I miss actually what my Father is busy with. See, we are to love Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. It's all of them, not part of them. And that invitation, even through last week's sermon, is for you and me to abide in Him in that way. So that we can bear much fruit. So we see God through this, that He extends an invitation for you and me to be intimate with Him, to be close to Him, to walk with Him, to a place of mutual love and respect, where I am changed into His glory, where I become more look to him. And as I look to him, as I, you know, as that song saying that where I intently look at him and my face are towards him, then I can ask whatever I wish. Because the reality is, when I am in that place of intimacy, drawing strength from him, then I change. My priorities change. My focus change. And suddenly my asking lines up with his will for my life. It's not, Lord, this is my life. Please do something here. It is, Lord, this life belongs to you. What do you want to do? You see, then my future, my now, my children, everything is submitted to him. Everything is guided by him, steered by him, taught by him, directed by him. And I could just submit to him. But I need to be in that place where I am in his presence so that I can be changed. Can I just say, I think sometimes it's easy to not do that. And we are the ones that miss out. But then we get upset when our prayers are not answered. Ouch. So why is our prayers not answered? James 4 verse 3 says the following. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it in your own passions. Now you can go and sit and meditate on this one. That's why if you now take what was in your head, what you're praying for currently, what is the focus of your prayers? What is, you know, what is there? Is that for your own passions? That's hit me. This was like, but Lord. You know, I realized this week that my prayers have become very selfish, self-centered, and call it what you want. It's become about my own passions in many ways. It's not that I don't pray other stuff, but a lot of my prayers are about that. How God must make these things happen for me. And I had to reevaluate what am I actually praying for? What am I asking for? You know, if I have to filter and put it next to Scripture, what the Bible says I should be asking for, then what is it? How is it lining up there? You know, if we look at the Father, our Father who are in heaven. Hello. Yes. Okay, stop there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So what is the prayer about here? It's about your car and your house and your future and your financial planning, correct? You're getting that now, no? So next time just pray the Our Father, because then he's going to meet every need. And I realized that even the Our Father, as Jesus taught us to pray, he's saying, listen, the focus here is God, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And then I started thinking, Quibus, but should I not pray for this? That God's kingdom will come in my every day, in my every whim, my every desire, that will line up with what he wants to do in and through me in this nation right now at this time. That my prayers start going about his power, his glory, his anointing, that he pours out into this clay vessel to impact the people around me. And not to be spent on my own passions, but to be spent from a place where I am passionate about him. But it's no longer what I desire. You see, because here's the reality, saints. Everything we have here is going away. If I read Bible right, it's burned with fire. Kapoof, ultimate braai master. Sorry, that was a bad joke. Everything we are fighting for, working towards so hard has no eternal value. Yet we are called to be stewards in this time of that which God has. So I'm not saying it's all bad, but what I'm saying is where our heart is, where my treasure is, there my heart will be, correct? Now, if my treasure is in your kingdom come, your will be done. If my treasure is abiding in you, bearing the kingdom fruit, then my life will do that which God is calling me to do. And that can be even in your work, your family, and everything. Every facet of your life, as this flows out, it will touch that very area of your life. Asking outside of abiding is asking from the flesh. And that's what I realized. Because is it not true that if I'm not spending time with Him, I so easily default to my flesh and my desires? Quick, man, it's autopilot. Before I know, I'm there. And what we need to realize is that the flesh and the spirit are standing opposed to one another. Romans 8. Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I've been thinking about that. How do I do that? How do I actually live that out in its fullness? And I'm journeying with the Lord there because I really want to see that in my life. I want to really walk by the Spirit of God and not fulfill just the lust of the flesh. And pursue the kingdom stuff. And as I'm journeying with that, the kingdom priorities are becoming more important to me than my own stuff. And you know that's difficult because I like my own stuff. But it's just me. But I have to let go. You see, serving Jesus is not about having my fleshly desires met. When I abide, I draw vital, life-giving juices from the vine. Then I will ask according to the vine. And like I said, my wants and desires then changes. And I can testify that I remember when I got born again, I had a few things that I wanted to do. And when I met Jesus, stuff changed. And I'm sure many of you can testify to that. The things I used to desire, I don't anymore. But now I find myself in a place, in an interesting world. And I have to navigate through this and say, Lord, what do you want to do? So can I give you some good news? Not that this was not good news, but Mark 11:22 says this, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. If everything else doesn't make sense, have faith in God. And then verse 24 of the same chapter says this, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believing that you have received it, it will be yours. Now, many times people take this scripture out of context and they quote it because God is the genie. God should respond because now I have faith. Eh? But if it's bad for you, I ain't going to give it to you. If it's the wrong timing for the thing, you're not going to get it either. He still loves you. And He will wait for the opportune moment. We just fail to wait upon the Lord sometimes. We don't want His timing. We want our timing. My faith is now, Lord, just make it happen. And that's not the reality. Sometimes when I pray, I have to leave it at His feet and walk away and go on with life and trust Him to bring it to pass. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. This is the God that we serve, who is able to do far more abundantly than what we ask or think. Your asking is too small. If you think of it from the spirit man, all of you sitting here, if we start praying for the Holy Spirit to ignite us, if we start praying for a manifestation of His power through us every day like He did with the disciples, if we start praying for the signs, wonders, and miracles that we see it out there, not just in here, what will happen to this world? Will we not spend that then in His passion, His desire, His will for our lives? And you and I sit here and we are too scared to pray it, because then God's going to say to us, go pray for that person. You go like, that must be the devil. And God says, man, I am able to do far more than you are asking or thinking. So I'm going, Lord, please help me pray correctly from this day on. I want to pray with faith and expectation in what you want to see in this earth today. Not just my stuff. I'm going to die one day and then I go, and I'm done with my stuff. And then my boys spend it. I've slogged for many years. So many. I mean, there's guys that has died stinking rich and then their children take it and squander it. Not all cases, but I'm going to leave this stuff behind. So can I be busy with that stuff that He wants me to be busy with? Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Saints, what are we praying for? What are we praying for? If we pray for our government, what do we pray for? Can you imagine if God hears our prayers, pours out His Spirit on this country's leaders? What will happen then? If we as a collective start praying, asking according to God's will for our daily lives, our daily bread, as we forgive those who sin against us, as He forgave us, as we walk in the power and anointing of the kingdom, His kingdom, not my flesh kingdom, what will change in my life? So I think for me, I need to ask myself, Kubus, what are you praying for? Are you praying from the Spirit or are you praying from the flesh? And this has been my week's journey now. Where is this prayer coming from? Just reevaluate quickly. And how do I pray this from actually drawing strength from Him and not just from my flesh? I want to pray from a place where I'm abiding in Him. Not a ad hoc, casual relationship with this God. I want to abide in Him. And I want His Word to abide in me so that I can pray, so that I can stay in His love. Because when His love is in me, things change. When I walk according to His will, things change. Saints, He has an amazing future for us. But it might not be the future that you are thinking of, hoping for, possibly even desiring. As we start praying from that place of abiding in Him, as we start praying from the place where we know and understand His commandments, maybe our prayers will change. Maybe we will pray differently. And maybe you might just see a supernatural God move in your life like never before. Not just to meet your needs, but to do that which Jesus came to do to this earth, and that is save people, to save the world. So I want to challenge you today to pray for boldness, to be His witness. Because that's why the Holy Spirit came, not?
True.
They received the Holy Spirit and it allowed Him to be witnesses. I was thinking, you know, Peter used to walk down the road and his shadow just falls on people and they were healed. Come on. Jesus said, you're going to do the works that I've done and greater works. It just tells me I'm praying wrong. I'm seeking Him wrong. Because I want to see more of that in my life. And that's not just for me. As the pastor, it is for each one of us to walk in that anointing. Amen? Amen. So saints, how are you going to pray differently this week? How are you going to pursue God differently this week? I guess it's going to start with a reevaluation of where I am. Being honest with myself about what I'm praying for. Am I just trying to rub the genie and hope the Lord answers? And I say that with respect, but it's true. Sometimes I think I had this picture of the Aladdin movie. You know, that sometimes I think we're like, Lord, where are you? Ah. But it's not that. There's an abiding. There's a walking. There's a living together. There's a strolling together. There's a place where I put on the armor and I stand. Because the devil is still walking around. This thing is so much greater than what I can put in just in one sermon. This could be a series for the rest of the year. But may we leave here and today and go, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? Just maybe aim for tomorrow. Leave Friday. Just say, God, just do something different in my life tomorrow. Some of you will go, Father, for the next year. And that's good. If you have the faith for that, that's fine. But for some of us here, just go for tomorrow. It's okay. Let's pray.